May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 4. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. Hymn number 4.
From the Holy Word of God, we will read in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. The first chapter in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us, your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May the Lord bless that portion of his own word to us and help us now in prayer. O Lord, we come to the eventide of this thy day and seek now that true spirit of humility, that we might rightly approach unto thee the great I Am. We come, O Lord, in humble confession, as ever and only we can, that we are sinners in thy sight. For the scriptures determine that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And we know that we have no inerrant righteousness of our own, but we come pleading the blood and righteousness, the person and finished work of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who came into this world that he might redeem his people and reconcile them unto the Father and make them one with God, that he might gather together his church in one, that he might present it faultless before the Father's throne in glory. Oh, do help us now then, O Lord, to worship thee, to call upon the name of the Lord our God, to seek thy grace and thy favour, to make our petitions known unto thee, and all that we might know that peace of God which passeth all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank thee for thy precious word, that which is able to make us wise unto salvation, not to be repented of. And Lord, we pray that we may read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this truth to the good of our souls, to the strengthening of our faith, to our entrusting the Lord Jesus Christ and committing all things into his hand, to know that we have no Saviour but Jesus only. O Lord, we come once again, one more Lord's Day and yet one less in our journey here below. O Lord, do grant that help as we continue day by day, week by week, throughout the course of our lives. Do grant that cloudy pillar by day and that fiery pillar by night, that we may be found in the right way before thee, and that we might come into that promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. Lord, that we might know that thou art our Lord, our God, our Saviour, and our all. We thank thee for thy mercies of this day, for that which has been attended to here and elsewhere throughout the day. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt seal thy word in the hearts of the hearers. Lord, it is one thing to come to the house of God. It's another thing to profit thereby. But Lord, that none should be sent empty away, but that each may receive of thy grace, that they may walk before thee in truth. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy servant with us tonight, and pray thy blessing upon his labours. Remember him and his wife in all that thou hast called them to. Lord, thou knowest the needs of all thy servants. We commit and commend each one unto thee. For we live in dark and evil days, when Satan is very active, sometimes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, at other times disguising himself as an angel of light. And there are many in the pulpits of this nation and the nations of the world which are but wolves in sheep's clothing, who have no love to the Lord Jesus Christ or desire to honour and promote his name. But we would exalt a precious Saviour. We would commend each one to look to Jesus, for here is our only hope, our only plea. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, look upon us with thy divine compassion, with thy tender heart. Lord, we remember as thou didst minister here below. He went about, he was so kind, to cure poor sinners that were blind, and many that were sick and lame, he pitied them and did the same. Thou art that same Lord Jesus, although now exalted upon the throne of God, and all power and authority, might and dominion are placed in thy hands. And thou art that judge who shall sit upon the throne to judge the nations of the earth, and each one must fall before thee. Our Lord, to know that we can read our title clear, to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to know that it is well whilst we live, and well if called to die. Lord, do grant us such a divine favour as this, that we might know thee as thou art. O Lord, do remember the churches in this our day. Keep them faithful even unto death. We fear what the future may hold, and yet we have thy fear not. And Lord, we remember that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. All things happen according to thy divine purpose, according to thy will. Nothing takes thee by surprise. Kings and presidents and leaders are in thy hands, and thou dost say unto them, thus far and no further. And so we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt raise up in this our day a people for thy eternal praise, that thou wilt bless the churches with prosperity, that one and another may be enabled to say, I was born here, born again of the Holy Spirit of God, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, made willing in the day of thy power to forsake this vain world of sin, to rise up and to follow thee. O Lord, do look upon each one assembled here. Thou knowest all that concerns them. Nothing is hidden from thine all-seeing eye. We do pray for their eternal prosperity, that none should be left out of the secret, but each may come to a knowledge of Christ and him crucified. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto those that believe it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, do remember then of thy people. We pray especially for those that hold office in the church, that they may be found faithful stewards of thy house. And remember those who have committed they're all to thee, putting on an open profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they walk worthy of the calling wherein they are called. And Lord, others, may they not be a disgrace to the church, but all may they remember their accountability before God. Our Lord, thou art that sovereign God over all things, blessed forevermore. We pray, O Lord, that thou remember those that are afflicted, those that are sick, the lonely, the poor, the needy, the cast down and dejected. Our Lord, what effect this world has upon us. How prone we are to be cast down because of the roughness of the way. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou so disquieted within thee? Trust thou in God. And here is a remedy for all our ailments, for all our needs, to trust in the Lord at all times. Lord, we thank thee then that we can come to thee in prayer, audible or silent prayer. Thou hearest our heart's desires and our longings before thee. Lord, do visit us in the night season upon our beds, when it seems as though the devil is particularly active and seeks to rob us of our heavenly pleasures. Oh, be a God very near unto us. Bless us abundantly and keep us. Remember the aged, who are fast hastening toward the end of the journey of life. May it be light at eventide. Remember those in the midst of life. Do bless them and keep them. And then, O Lord, we pray for our younger friends. Oh, do bless them. May they too come to know what real religion is, not the religion of the day, not that religion which satisfies the flesh, but real religion, a religion of the heart and of the soul. And oh, may they have that spirit of discernment, to be able to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. Lord, undertake for us then, as we journey on. Oh, may we sing the songs of Zion with a joyful heart, in that knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished all things for his people's sake. And soon he will bring his church together as one. And oh, how will it be In that great day when the church is assembled before their great Saviour, who shall sit upon the throne for ever and for ever, they shall praise him with a never-ending praise. They will sing the song of the redeemed. And Lord, it will be an eternal song. Now, Lord, do be with us. Thou knowest all our needs. Come and fill the empty vessel. Grant that there may be a portion for seven and also for eight. O Lord, that thy word may go forth, although delivered in weakness, gathered in power. And all the honour and glory shall be ascribed unto thee. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory given. Now, Lord, do make up in giving where we so fail in asking. Pardon all that we ask amiss. Cleanse us from all our many, many sins. For we are ceasing in that precious and all-prevailing name of Jesus. And for his sake alone, amen.
Hymn number 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Hymn 732.
Thank you.
When your deacon first invited me to preach a good number of weeks ago now, these words fell upon my spirit, and I felt I would have to venture here with them. And so, in all felt dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct you to the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 16. That is the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. If we are yet in our sins, if we abide in an unconverted state, we will never really understand the Word of God. It is a closed book to most of the inhabitants of this world. And only to God's people will a revelation be made. But that revelation will be clear. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What a mercy then, if this evening we can rest upon these holy scriptures, to know what God has spoken in his holy word is to his people divine truth. And so there is no controversy, there is no debating, there is no arguing over the Word of God. And I'm thankful for myself that as the years have gone by, the Lord has discovered this glorious truth to my soul. And I stand here tonight upon the Word of God and cannot compromise to any. And although we are cowardly in the flesh, and if persecution came, none of us would know, naturally speaking, how we would stand. But I trust by the grace of God, we will ever stand upon this truth, that we will not deny the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for our never dying souls. So this is a clear word, and it is to be understood by all those that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. And here the apostle shows us, as he showed first to young Timothy, that it is a mystery. And there are things in the Word of God, there are doctrines which I could never, ever satisfactorily explain to you. They are and they will be a mystery to us. God has revealed sufficient for us to be able to believe and to put our trust and confidence in Him. Take the doctrine of the Trinity. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three in one and one in three. How can we explain it? How can poor, ignorant man ever discover the depths and heights and length and breadth of this great mystery? And yet, if we have faith, we believe. We believe in a three-one God. We believe that there are three that work together for the good of God's people. That God the Father chose a people that He donated to His ever-beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit makes known the purposes of God in the fullness of time in the hearts of that covenant people. Three in one. What a mystery. How great this mystery is. And yet what a blessing that we have such things given us and are recorded throughout the scriptures. We could turn to many places and find this same doctrine that permeates through the Word of God. It's not controversial. Yes, it is to the world, and especially to the religious world that deny the sovereignty of God and His elective and eternal purposes. Yes, it is to the world who say effectively in their hearts, we do not want this man, Christ Jesus, to reign over us. But those that are called by grace divine, there's no controversy here. We believe this same truth. We are united together in one in the Word of God. Birds of a feather flock together. The people of God are one in heart and one in mind. What about the doctrine of the Son of God, the eternal Son, who, as in Proverbs 8 we're told, lie in the bosom of the Father, and was daily His delight? How beautiful to consider that the Word of God. And I've often thought upon this, there, if one lies in the bosom of another, how they understand all the secrets, all the words that are spoken. They have a great understanding of all the glorious truth. How much more the eternal Son of God should come to make a divine revelation of those things which were in secret in times past, but now have God made known unto His people these eternal mysteries. What a great mystery that God should create man as He was. Adam was one with God, and yet he fell. What a mystery. But if man had not fallen, Christ had not need to come to this world. And in the eternal purposes of God, man must fall, and God should recover his people and deliver them from that fallen state and condition. These things are a mystery. They are a great mystery. But do we believe in God Almighty? Do we believe that he has a sovereign purpose? That nothing happens by chance, but all things according to his divine will? How that should encourage us to know that God is working his purposes out in the lives of all his saints, that nothing can come upon them amiss. As the hymn writer says, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. We are secure in him. A time to be born and a time to die. Not one moment before, not one moment after. All exactly according to his divine decree. We have that beautiful hymn, don't we? Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There are then spoken from these words a number of things that we would desire to consider. Firstly then, God was manifest in the flesh. And again, what a great mystery. That God should take our nature. Emmanuel, God with us. And as it was prophesied throughout the Old Testament, gradually the light of day dawning to the glorious day of the Lord's appearing, born of a virgin, here upon this earth to take flesh of our flesh and blood of our blood. He was made man. A mystery. Yet we believe that this is true. We believe that Christ Jesus came into this world. And we believe the purpose of his coming into this world was to save sinners. What a mystery that God should come and dwell among us. Fallen creatures, enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. We all, as the word declares, had gone astray. We had all forsaken God. God was manifest in the flesh. No man has seen God at any time. But we see the Lord Jesus. We see him who is of that complex God-man. God and man. He never departed from his Godhead. He was ever, always, only God. But he took upon himself a nature like unto our own. What a mercy that God should be manifest, that we should be able to see. How in any other way could we have seen God? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God dwelleth in the heavens. God is not known except by revelation. He revealed himself unto the world that he had created, unto the people that he had made. We have those beautiful words at the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I can remember as a young boy, I couldn't understand why didn't the Word of God clearly say that Jesus was God? Why wasn't there a scripture that determined this to my satisfaction? Oh, how ignorant we are by birth and by nature. But then, as one minister was preaching, he connected, as it were, the two. In the beginning was the Word. Who is this Word? What are we to understand by it? Well, verse 14 gives us the answer. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we, that is the apostles, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here is a mystery, and yet it is a mystery that is made known to those whom the Lord has purposed that it should be made known. And we see clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is identified here. And not only did the apostles behold his glory, but the Lord's people, everyone by the eye of faith, should behold that glory. What a time that must have been for the three favored disciples who were taken up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they saw a glorified Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus. Is that your desire tonight? To see yon lovely man, to see a precious Jesus, high and lifted up, that all men might look upon him, and whosoever looketh is delivered. God was manifest in the flesh. He came unto his own, but his own received him not, but as to as many that believed on him. Do we have faith to believe? Do we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he been made precious to our never dying souls? Is it give me Christ or else I die? Looking unto Jesus, to whom else can we go? He was made flesh, manifested. And oh, he came to that end to bear the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. See a blessed Jesus manifested, hanging upon the accursed tree. And darkness came over the earth. And we hear the blessed Son of God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forgotten me? As he was made sin for us, that is the sin bearer who knew no sin. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was ever, always, only that holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God. In him was no sin at all. But he took our sins. He remitted our course. He took our part. And when God looked and saw sin, and God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, the Son of God must suffer, bleed, and die. That poor, erring souls, such as we are, might live. To have faith in his name, in his person, and in his finished work, God was manifest in the flesh. But vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. The Lord Jesus Christ rose again according to the scriptures. And we have that beautiful description of Mary. Mary, out of whom the Lord had cast seven devils. Seven in the scriptures is ever the number of perfection. A perfect devil. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ set her free, manifest in the flesh for his people, whom he loved with an everlasting love, who he came to redeem by his precious blood. There she comes to the empty tomb. Where have they taken away my Lord? One thing she desired above all other things, that was to see Jesus. And when she saw whom she supposed to be the gardener, she went and inquired of him, who said one word to her, Mary. And immediately the response was made, Rabboni, Master. She saw her Lord. Or have we seen the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know him whom the Lord has sent, manifest in the flesh? Secondly, justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. Reading through the Gospels, you will see that the Lord's life was a life of opposition. The high priest and priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers, and many opposed him. Many condemned him, that he was guilty of death, that they said that he had blasphemed by making himself equal with God. Away with him, crucify him. Justified in the Spirit. Look at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. There we see a beautiful picture of the eternal three. The Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Lord Jesus Christ comes up out of the water, and the Spirit, like a dove, rests upon him. There is the revelation to whomsoever will believe of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the beloved Son of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in him. See also, he is justified in the very fact that he rose from the dead, that he was received up into glory, as we shall come to at the end of this passage. There he was justified on the behalf of his people. Remember those words at the beginning of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are the called according to his purpose. We are justified if we are in Christ Jesus, because he was justified on our behalf. The law made demands upon mankind. Man was unable to meet those demands. He came far short. If we break one point of the law, then we are rendered guilty of all. And we are under condemnation. We are guilty. We are condemned. We must be put to death. But the Lord Jesus Christ came in our room, place, and stead. He says in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. And there he perfectly kept every jot and tittle of the law. And when he came to die, he could say, it is finished. The work is done. All that is required of me, I have performed. I have done all things for my people's sake, for my love that I bear toward them. And there he pays the price of their sin and brings in for them an everlasting righteousness. And ye, says the apostle, are complete in him. Oh, the mercy of God, that he is justified in the Spirit. And we are justified too if we are Christ and Christ is ours. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased, never to be blotted out, but there to all eternity. Justification is a wonderful doctrine, if only man could believe. Justified in the Spirit. Then thirdly, seen of angels. I understand that in the original, it has this connotation, that he was gaped upon by angels. With what surprise they must have viewed him. That in heaven, even before the world began, angels bowed before him, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. There they worshipped and adored him. There they looked upon him with great delight as their master. With what surprise then must they have viewed his coming into this world? And yet we read of the time of Christ's birth, of his nativity, those angels which came to the shepherds and annunciated the birth and began singing that heavenly melody, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Angels visited him in his weakness in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Again, this is a great mystery. Who can fathom it? Who can fully understand it? Who can adequately describe it? See the suffering Son of God, and all for love of man. Yes, there he suffered. Great drops of blood falling to the ground. All the agony that he endured on our behalf. Friend, can you think lightly of sin? When God, the eternal Son of God, agonized in that garden so greatly, but the angels came and ministered unto him. Wasn't it the angels that were sent of God to open the door of the tomb for the risen Christ? Angels are sent of God on a mission for Christ and for his people. Seen or gaped upon of angels. Or if it's a mystery to us, these things we're told that angels desire to look into. The great mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And look at the song that they sang when he came into heaven, when he rose and ascended up on high. As the psalmist describes it, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended in that same body that he had here upon the earth, justified in the Spirit, gaped upon by angels, bowing before him, worshipping the eternal Son of God, taking up his place on his Father's throne, there adored by all. Angels need no repentance because angels have not sinned. They have not fallen from their first estate. They have remained, those that did remain, ever in the presence of God. Holy angels, because they're in that holy place, they minister concerning holy things. But they look upon the Lord Jesus Christ with great intensity. And shall we pass these things by? Shall we little consider what the Word of God presents before us of all that the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was here upon this earth, and what he is yet doing for his people as their great high priest interceding on their behalf? But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels, now exalted in that highest place that heaven could afford him, because it is his. It is his by divine right. He takes his place upon that appointed place, upon the throne of God. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. This word, I believe, is set here as a derogatory word. You know, the Jews considered themselves to be the only people of God, and all the Gentiles were heathens. And so by nature we are heathens, far off from God, in darkness and in unbelief. What did the kingdoms of the world in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ know about God? Some doubtless had heard of him and knew him to be the God of Israel, but he was not their God. And there they practiced their idol worship. They raised up gods of their own manufacture. They bowed down to heathen practices. A world full of sin, full of shame. But then, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a great commission unto his disciples. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you remember how there was a man who was at enmity with God, fighting against the cause of Jesus Christ, a Saul of Tarsus who hated those that believed on his name. Would we have chosen such a character as him? Would we have even looked upon him? No, we would have disdained him. But the Lord had chosen him as a special vessel of his mercy and given him a special work to do. He began to preach to the Jews, and when they turned their back upon his doctrine, he went to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles received him and desired to hear more of what he had to tell. How on the day of Pentecost, Peter had preached to the multitude. And look at the catalogue of different peoples and nations that were represented there. It was the beginning of God's glorious work, that the earth should be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Into all the world and preach the gospel. What a blessing that God has raised up through the annals of time those who will be faithful to their commission to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Preached unto the Gentiles. And Paul went about to various parts of the world at that time. And there many came to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preached unto the Gentiles. You know, preaching, if I might put it this way, is a different discipline from anything else. A person will go to lecture for his business, and he will go prepared with his notes, and he will know pretty well what he has to say, what he has to inform the people of. And it is, of course, important to those to whom he speaks that they should have the knowledge that he has to hand out. But you know, the preaching of the gospel. I have my book of notes. I have it here in front of me. God has given his word. And we come to preach from this book. This book, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Yes, Christ Jesus, written upon every page. But it's not just something that is important for this life. It is important for eternity. Eternity, eternity, wherefore shall I spend eternity? Preached unto the Gentiles. And the apostle says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Look at the catalogue he gives of those that were drawn out of different places of the dens of iniquity of this earth. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one of us can say that we are good, because we are all evil by nature. Sin is in us and throughout us. But the gospel brings a message of peace. The gospel, as Philpott says, is an old Anglo-Saxon word that means simply good news. And it's good news to those that have a hearing ear and a heart prepared afore of God to receive. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Is the gospel a glorious sound in your hearing tonight? Do you receive it as the word of God sent to you? Does it mean something to you? Because it is. As the servants of God know, it is either a savour of life unto life, or of death unto death. How solemn to hear the gospel ministry preached week by week, and yet never to be affected by it. Ever to have that hardened and unbelieving heart. Ever to go in the same spirit as you came. God have mercy. That we might hear the trumpet's joyful sound. That there may come a day when we too will join the ranks of Christ's redeemed ones. And it won't be with a proud spirit. It will be in humility, coming and speaking of what the Lord has done for our never dying souls. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. As Paul and the early apostles went about, and as preachers have ever gone about preaching the gospel, some have believed. What an encouragement it is that there are those that do believe. We are in a day of small things. The Bible often refers to the church as a remnant. It is but a few that are saved. When he cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And I believe the answer to that is very little. But the Lord does have a people. And the world will continue until the last elect vessel of mercy is safely gathered in. Believed on in the world. Out of every condition. Out of every nation, every type, all brought to one place to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess his name, not to be ashamed of the gospel of his grace. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found, and it will be a mercy. And I believe everyone who comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him with a pure heart will have laid upon their spirit others. Husband will bring their wife. A mother may bring her children. A brother may bring a brother or a sister. And pray earnestly that they too might know the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot give grace to others. We cannot convert anyone. But we can pray for them. And we can pray that the Lord may have mercy upon souls and deliver them from their sins and make them right with God. It is to his honor and his glory, to the good of his kingdom, that we see men and women coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is none other name given under heaven or among men whereby ye must be saved, but in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. None come except the Father draw. It is all of sovereign grace. Sovereign grace or sin abounding. Believed on in the world, received up into glory. We have briefly touched upon this point, that the disciples were gathered together at Bethany, and there they saw the Lord Jesus Christ taken up into the air, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Ye men, why gaze ye up? Why are you still looking up? That same Jesus who has ascended into heaven will in like manner come down from heaven, received up into glory. Glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. It is a place of glory to which all the redeemed of God are fast hastening toward. Or do we have a view by faith of the King in his beauty, the glorious Christ Jesus, to view him, to love him, to admire him, to adore him, and to wait for his appearing? Yes, he will come again. As he said, he will come with 10,000 times 10,000 by his side. He will come in triumph. He waits till his enemies be made his footstool. And he will come for the suffering church of God. He will come to receive his people unto himself as he promised. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also, received up into glory. He is the first fruits, as the apostle tells us in Corinthians 15, the first fruits of them that slept. Because he lives, we shall live also. Oh, what a glorious prospect. If only we have faith to believe on the Son of God. Do we possess like precious faith with the saints of old, the saints in every generation, the Lord's chosen people? Do we have that faith? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And as we were saying this morning, so often the people of God are a poor, dejected, suffering people, despised by this world, rejected by others, and yet known and loved of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come to them, make himself known unto them. And oh, how they will describe him. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? He is the chiefest among 10,000. He is the altogether lovely one. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few remarks to his own honour and glory, and for the good of his people. Amen.
the collections last Lord's Day were £682, for which we are very thankful. And the collections today are for Christian Concern. God willing, Mr. Pickett will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Richard Field. Mr. Jempson is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach in the evening. Let us close with part of hymn number 220. We'll sing verse 7. This God is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as large as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past, and trust him for all that's to come. Hymn 220, verse 7.
Table to solemnize our hearts and fit us rightly to approach unto thee. Remember those who now depart, Lord, do go before them and go with them. And may something rest upon their spirit that has been spoken this day for their eternal good. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost, rest upon and abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.